Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
So I'm very pleased to welcome Sally Pizarro, who's a researcher for the Coventry University. And Sally is actually going to talk to us about support for midwives and the work that they do, which is sounds fascinating. So we're looking forward to hearing it. Sally, thank you very much.
Thanks. I'll try and speak as loud as I can. I hope you can all hear me. I'm quite overwhelmed by how many people have shoved themselves in this room, which makes me think that this topic has quite a lot of generated a lot of interest for people. It certainly has my attention. I'm a researcher from Coventry University. I'm a qualified midwife as well, not currently practicing because of my own ill health, which was the spur on for this research, really. I'm coming to the end of my first year of my PhD, and I have quite a big project that I'm trying to do, achieve, help midwives in psychological distress, and I'm looking for people to get involved, so I am in awe of you all just sat in front of me. So this is just a bit of details about me, really, and today I am going to talk about healthier midwives for healthier families. And psychologically traumatic professional events, but of course it's not just about the traumatic events in practice that we can incur. We all know that there's other issues and pressures, you know, facing midwives in their practice every day. So follow me on Twitter. If someone could take pictures of me and tweet for me, that would be great. And my blog here, which is where I put all my research and will be looking for people to get involved in. Okay, so I've got some supervisors, Wendy Klein, Andy Turner and Amy Fulton. Claire Gerarda, does anyone know who Claire Gerarda is? She's the former chair of the Royal College of GPs, and she's done a lot of work around doctors in psychological distress and GPs. And I thought, well, hang on a minute, where's the support for midwives? Where's that coming in? So I'll just start. So these are the why is this project important? I'm creating something to help us, okay, because we all kind of need that support in place. So today's high quality and cost effective care is intimately linked to good staff health and well-being. Now, students in the room, I remember when I was a student, even now it's patients first, patient-centred care. That's what we're sort of programmed to do, which is rightly so. I mean, you know, we are caring for mothers and their babies. But in doing that, we might forget sometimes that sometimes we need to give ourselves the same self-care that we do our women in order to give that good care we all want to do. So traumatic work environments in maternity services may be associated with stress, vicarious trauma, so impact on you as well as the midwife, and anxiety. And there's a paucity of support for midwives. Midwives could be at increased risk of psychological distress due to the fact they're independent, working in an area of high litigation. And we all know the media has nasty things to say about us too sometimes, so we've got to kind of be strong and resilient and all of those magical things we can do. So what are we hearing at the moment? So Conway et al. Said, I suffer from a condition called being human. You know, we are human. We're not superhuman. We're not infallible. We do make mistakes in practice. We feel real feelings. We're not robots. And people are saying they're close to having a breakdown in mental health. There's issues there about who can you tell? Can you tell your employer? Are the NMC going to be knocking on your door? All of those kinds of things that you might be struggling with. And no one comes into the health services to be mediocre and fail. When nurses and midwives make mistakes or don't do things according to the plan or whatever, things that go to plan, they don't go into work to do that. And something that hit me quite hard a couple of weeks ago was Jeremy Hunt saying that midwives have killed 1,300 babies. And I thought, great, we're murderers now as well. You know, I'm going to work today, what am I going to do? It wouldn't be to kill a baby, that's for sure. And it makes me so upset when I hear stuff like that. And blaming, scolding and punishing really have no place in the treatment of any illness. We have midwives and nurses on the NMC register up for fitness to practice. Some have substance abuse disorders because they're psychologically distressed or something like that. Or they make mistakes because they're stressed out, hadn't slept enough last night, or whatever it is. Do we really want to deal with that by punishing them? I don't think it really helps anybody. So finding an alternative to disciplined approach to being unwell. And I know a lot of NHS trusts at the moment do go down the disciplinary procedure route if you have too many days off sick. I mean, I don't understand that, but that's the way it is. So poor mental health is links to a quarter of staff sickness absence. That was the Borman report. And 38% of NHS staff go to work feeling unwell as a result of work-related stress. And only 57% of NHS trusts have a policy to support mental well-being. So it's not very high on the agenda. And 68% of staff go to work when they don't feel well enough to do so. And if you're feeling unwell, you're more likely to make a mistake, you're more likely to make an error, not be compassionate. They talk about compassion in care. How are you supposed to be compassionate in care if you haven't slept or you don't feel well and you're coming into work anyway? And fewer than half of NHS England staff report that their employer takes a positive action on their health and well-being. So our midwives highly valued, and I'm sure it's not just midwives, I'm sure it's doctors, everyone in the NHS. You know, are we being valued highly enough, really? Many of the NHS trusts identified that stress and mental health issues are now overtaking musculoskeletal disorders as the main reason for sickness. So we talk about, oh, you need a good chair for your back when you're working at a computer, because we all know about back problems. Actually, now stress in mental health is overtaking that, so we have the evidence that we need to do something. And I've been looking at Albert Wu, who's a really cool researcher, follow him on Twitter. The midwife is the second victim, so the mother who's had a poor experience, the baby who's had a poor experience, obviously they are the first victim, and that is tragic when they have a poor outcome in birth. But midwives may become the second victim, because they feel too, it impacts upon them if they've seen something horrific in practice, clinically. They may relive that and actually develop post-traumatic stress from it. So what's the impact of the second victim? Professional insecurity, changes in your professional attitude, burnout, PTSD, anger, substance abuse, compassion fatigue, and in the worst case, death by suicide. You know, GPs, I think it was doctors from the GMC report last year, they committed suicide because it got that bad, and health professionals were very high up there suicide risk. So what might be the cause? Well, like I said, I was talking about adverse patient incidents, you know, a traumatic birth that may stick with us. But also there's other things in practice that can give you psychological distress. So adverse patient incidents, medical error, whistleblowing, we all know how they fare. Workplace suspensions, it's not supposed to be punitive, a suspension. It's supposed to give you time and space for an incident to be investigated, but it often has a punitive effect. Bullying, we all know about that, investigations all the time, aggressive patient behaviours towards us, and psychologically unsafe working cultures. So that's unsupportiveness, everybody kind of not being nice to each other. Doesn't bode well for good safe practice. So I just want to go through a couple of case histories and sort of see what might be going on. So these are people made up completely. Margot is a 49-year-old nurse with a reputation of being grumpy, rude, and uncaring. She doesn't care, she's not interested in professional development, and she snaps at little students. Sound familiar? So what might actually be going on with poor little Margot here? Yes, yeah, so Margot might be burnt out herself, and we're all complaining about her. Saying, oh, nasty Margot here, I don't like working with her, is she on shift again? But actually, she herself might be needing help. So it's about supporting each other, really, and creating healthy cultures. So John, he's a new qualified AE nurse. He's easily startled, he looks tired, bewildered. He's recently made a medical error and showed a marked lack of confidence, yet he often offers to do extra shifts. Potentially financial problems. Easily startled, so has something spooked him in practice that he's not talking about, perhaps. A&E, might have a lot of road traffic accidents coming in, nasty scenes, things like that. But he's coming in to do extra shifts.
Financial problems,
yes. He could also be looking for easy access to prescription drugs. from Emily. She's a midwife currently under investigation due to a patient complaint following a critical incident. Her behaviour is markedly changed, jumpy and avoidant of certain situations, but she doesn't want to talk about it.
Lack of support.
PTSD could be vicarious trauma, could be just any kind of secondary trauma or distress, but doesn't want to talk about it because that reminds her more of it. Mm. So that's really requiring specialist help in all these situations. Managers might not sort of have the knowledge to be able to report them, so it's just about recognising it. It's not always what you see on the surface of things that might be going on. And so, are they suffering in silence? Yes. Yeah? It's ingrained in us that the person who shouldn't suffer is the patient. Midwives try to do everything they can to make sure it's not the patient that suffers. At what cost? And they might not be prepared to admit that there's something wrong. They might fear they'll lose their jobs, be suspended, NMC knocking on their door. But in a context where psychological distress is not given any credence, midwives find it difficult to voice their own upset and mask their ill health. They just carry on regardless. It's very sad. So this is a great thing in The Lancet I was just quoting from. We see the pressure from the inside but don't show that to the patient until breaking point comes. Sound familiar to anybody? Or yeah, could be. So you know how to put the hand up. Scared to speak out. So the barriers to help seeking, stigma. Oh, she can't cope. Don't give her a hard patient. Don't give her a high-risk patient. Give her an easy shift. She can't cope. Or, you know, she's looked over because no one wants to load too much stress on them. Stigma. Lack of service provision. So occupational health systems aren't often sort of listed as that great. There's not a program in place. Or do they really understand if they're not midwives themselves? Limited finances. There's no money to spend on anything. And they might, someone might not recognise that they're not very well, actually. They might carry on and say, I'm fine. And we all say we're fine when we're not, but, you know, carry on doing those kind of things. And burnt out staff may actually hold a distorted view of themselves, think everything's okay. And they refrain from socially interacting and feel isolated. But how are you supposed to look after them if they're isolating themselves from you? Very difficult. So what is my project to do? I want to build an online intervention for midwives. I want to evidence base it so that midwives can tell me what they would like to see in an online intervention. Then I will build it. And then I want the midwives to tell me whether it works or not. And that's my PhD project, basically. And I am coming to you today to tell you about it so you can hopefully get involved. Midwives may seek confidential support online, but they're not going to do it openly with their PIN numbers saying, hi, this is GMABC251. I've just drunk a bottle of wine before my shift today. Yeah, no one's going to say that. So confidentiality and a mutual trust. And I think I'm trying to get a platform of Amnesty, which has a lot of ethical issues. Because midwives, if they're going to work when they're not fit to do so, who should be telling the NMC? All of us. But if we tell the NMC and they go down a punitive route, that midwife never gets help. And the secrets are driven underground, potentially. And the patients at the end of the day will be put further at risk because the midwife is practicing when she's unwell to do so. So the conundrum thickens. But I think peer support and evidence-based therapies, mindfulness, CBT, those kind of things could be incorporated on one platform for midwives in psychological distress, where you can anonymously talk peer-to-peer support under a pseudonym. Yes, we trust you're a midwife, but we're not going to ask you for your NMC number. And midwives can openly say on there if they can't say to their colleagues or their managers or face-to-face support. It could be an alternative. And if you're not feeling very well, sometimes it's hard to actually voice your upset, and you'd rather type it anyway. You'd rather tell a story, write in a diary, that kind of thing. So I'm hoping that we can actually distribute support for those experiencing psychological distress and promote help-seeking and disclosure through anonymity and amnesty. And also, if I get a load of midwives online telling the real truth about how things are, then we have further evidence to say this is how it really is. So this is my project plan. I'm starting with writing papers, literature reviewing and all of that. I've identified my project stakeholders and everything, the NMC, the RCM, all that stuff. Needs and feasibility analysis. Will this work? God, it's in my head all the time, all the problems and the things that can get in the way, but I hope it can. Ethical considerations, there are many. As I said, giving amnesty, you know, with the NMC rules and regulations upon us could be quite something. But the first thing we're going to do is Delphi study. And this is hopefully happening in the next couple of months, where I'll be asking people to express their interest in coming on board with this project. And it will be an online, not survey, online questions, really, where you can express your opinion. And I'll say, okay, I'm going to do this. What do you think I should prioritise in building this online platform? Should we prioritise amnesty or not? Should we prioritise confidentiality or not? All these kind of things that I'm asking everyone, well, midwives and other stakeholders, to help me decide how we should go about this. Then it becomes evidence-based. So the NHS is more like to say, yeah, we like it, you can use it. Then I'm going to build it, and then, like I say, in the end of my PhD, I'm hoping to pilot it, so get midwives to use it and tell me if it's a good thing or not. And if it's a good thing, and the NHS wants to reduce risk by improving staff engagement, staff well-being, I can say, I have something. So, do you want to make this happen? I'm recruiting, like I said. There are lots of limitations, and there's so little evidence. There's evidence about other patient groups, other staff groups, doctors, nurses, but midwives in the literature, I find, often get grouped in with nurses or grouped in with maternity services or something. They're not looked at holistically in their own way. And we are different from nurses. And we do work together. And I think it's only really midwives that can understand other midwives as well. So I think it's important that it's just one kind of group supporting each other, because you can talk to an ambulance guy about your problems and he's got his own problems, but do we really understand each other in that way? And all these things I'm hoping to work out anyway. We have to spend, yeah, we can read them. And they're just the references. So do you have any questions? Sorry if I rambled a bit, I'm a bit passionate about it. If anyone does want to sort of register their interest in being involved in the study or anything, just follow me, email me, go on my job. Yes, I do know about it.
Yeah, so the example that we're going to be on is the group of our courses that are related to the services. So, through the other day,
sorry, can you stand up? Because I'm not sure that anybody can actually hear what you're sharing a programme that you have set up.
This is something very similar that I'm trying to do now. We're sort of just about to roll it out. So it's called Formal Education Management Program. And
Trauma Risk Management. Where is it? Which area?
So initially it's starting with the Navy. And then, so basically, it's nice, recognised, it's nice approved. Basically, I researched how to treat midwives for maternity experts. I did it through the MST program and just did a bit of investigation into how to treat them. Because within our own trust, we felt that, you know, we had a maternity day about 2 years ago, and one of the main issues was the lack of support from midwives. You know, we go through nurse traumatic medicine, the woman dies, and next day we just get to turn up to work the next day, you know, and then care for her patients. And within our organisation, it seems to be we just kind of say, oh, well, you know, welcome back, put them on postings awards, and they kind of remain there for a long time, and they're often de-skilled, and then the midwives who do work loads of issues, we kind of get a bit fed up, because the midwives, they don't transfer back to delivery suite. So we're losing those skills as labour work midwives. So basically I thought, right, how are we going to do that? So I looked at TRIM, like I say, started in the Navy, and then rolled it out as a company called March on Stress that actually do this training. And as the supervisors of midwives felt that it sat well with their supervision, because often we hear about midwives who are subjected to the traumatic incident. Is it something that's in their practice? Not necessarily, it just happens. And then you're just then faced, how do we support them as supervisors? So basically, it's then starting off with, we see, so an incident would happen, a midwife can either then self-refer themselves, or they can be referred via the risk process or supervisors. We risk assess this person within 3 to 5 days of the incident, and then they're given a score of this. So we're not counsellors, we're not therapists, but it's just we assess them, and then 30 days later we reassess them again. If the scores are then still the same or getting worse, we then have contacted our local health system and we can patch that into the right through. So it's then about the tunnel of the midwives, so hopefully ultimately reducing the stats of this and increasing the staff morale.
Yeah, and also making midwives feel like they're valued, you know, they're worth looking after.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's
awesome. That's really awesome as well, because first of all, people think, in the first 2 or 3 days, see how they are, oh, they're fine, and then forget. But actually, a lot of trauma can happen, like, weeks, into the future, and it suddenly starts to affect the healthcare professional, so it's not just immediately.
Any other questions? Sorry, at the back. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean,
just ask Sally, we'll need to just round up, but the word supervisor was mentioned once over here. I know that you didn't mention supervisors, but I would suggest we already have a national system which is supervision. Supervisors are there to actually support them. Supervisors are there to support midwives, but are they being used? I don't know if Sally actually utilises supervisors. Supervision is not going, it's going to change its spots. It's actually not going completely. The statutory part of it is going. But there was somebody over here who wanted to ask that.
Yes, my name's Annabelle Bryant. I'm an independent midwife. And I think that what you're putting in place would be absolutely amazing for independent midwives. Saying that I'm an independent midwife. And I think that what you're doing is amazing, because as an independent midwife, we are incredibly isolated.
Yeah.
And we have no support network whatsoever within the NHS system apart from supervision. And apart from our peers. So, we have traumatic things happen to us as well. And it can be very, very traumatic.
So that's an independent midwife who is saying, well done, and this is something that's very useful. So anybody else have a last question? Sally, are you here till the end of the conference? So if people need to speak to you or would like to offer to support you.
Right now,
can we just say a big thank you to Sally for the presentation?
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.